Hey, I'm Jen Landon, and I play Teeter on the Paramount Network original series Yellowstone. As you know, Yellowstone is back and bigger than ever, and so is the official Yellowstone podcast. This isn't just your typical recap podcast. Every week, you'll get exclusive access to cast and crew members who will take you behind the scenes of Yellowstone in a way that no other podcast can. Saddle up for all new episodes of the official Yellowstone podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
If anything has got a chance of solving the world's problems, it's science and technology. And every breakthrough was the result of somebody doing the breaking through. I'm David Pogue. This is Unsung Science, the untold creation stories behind the most mind-blowing advances in science and tech. Presented by CBS News and Simon & Schuster. You can listen to Unsung Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. Happiness usually tops the list of things we wish for, especially as a new year gets underway. A lovely thought, to be sure. But just how do we find happiness? Is there a secret? Well, it turns out, at least to hear some experts tell it, happiness can be yours for the taking. Susan Spencer shares the surprisingly simple secret of happiness.
We get to ask questions about...
Psychiatrist Robert Waldinger has good news about living a good life. You can start right now.
Is it ever too late to be happy?
No, it's not. And I can tell you this from our research.
The Secret to Happiness.
Hundreds of thousands of pages.
Wow.
From a man who has spent decades studying it. Coming up on Sunday Morning.
Jim Axelrod this morning is talking with billionaire entrepreneur Mark Cuban, a man whose latest project, a low-cost prescription drug program, is really taking him into shark-infested waters.
Come on, Mark.
Mark Cuban's path to becoming a billionaire started as a kid knocking on front doors in Pittsburgh.
Hi, my name is Mark. Do you use garbage bags? If you just call me every time you need garbage bags, they're only $6 per 100. I'll come and I'll just drop them off at the house.
His moxie made him enough money, he says, to pursue something other than the next dollar.
The capitalistic reward comes from having an impact.
Where Mark Cuban's vision is focused now. Later on Sunday Morning.
Our Seth Doan will be catching up with Michelle Yeoh, an actor who seems to be doing everything, everywhere, all at once.
She's having a moment that's about more than just her.
I have so many of the Asian community going, I see myself on the screen. I see myself being represented.
Already famed for her stunt work, now Michelle Yeoh is stretching as an actor and otherwise.
Okay, I want you to try this.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Fine. We'll try to keep up ahead this Sunday morning.
Okay. Mo Rocca looks back at the last time we grappled with sky-high inflation and a largely forgotten government program designed to whip inflation now. And ever wonder just how it came to pass that today is National Sunday Supper Day? Luke Burbank has an answer that may surprise you. Plus a story from Steve Hartman and more. This Sunday morning for the 8th of January, 2023. And we'll be right back.
48 Hours and CBS News present Season 3 of My Life of Crime with Aaron Moriarty. This season, join Aaron for extended interviews with convicted murderers. Go beyond speculation to the evidence. Did Arturo Gatti really commit suicide? And what happened to Jennifer Dulos, the Connecticut mom still missing almost 4 years later? Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
friends. I'm Dulce Sloan, correspondent for The Daily Show.
And I'm Josh Johnson, writer for The Daily Show.
And we have a new podcast called Hold Up.
We're going to be talking about staycations, the merits of texting versus calling, conscious rap versus club bangers.
You know, topics that are big to us, but small to everybody else.
And as best friends who rarely agree on anything, there's going to be plenty of arguments.
And I'm not losing the argument to anybody with that hairline.
Attacks already in the promo. That's fine. Listen to Hold Up wherever you get your podcasts.
A recent study proclaims happiness is the goal most people aim for but can't attain. With Susan Spencer, we go in search of happiness.
This tight-knit group of New York City Potters puts a unique spin on something we all desperately want, happiness.
Is it true you call this your happy place?
I feel very free when I come here. And I am creating. No one's demanding of you.
It's really been a place of meditation and friendship.
Thank you.
Marion Benedek, Casey Rice, Helen Chardak, and Susan Shapiro have been taking ceramics classes together at the 92nd Street Y for almost a lifetime.
Who's been here the longest?
1971.
Richard Nixon was about to be elected.
I guess I came about 81.
I've been doing ceramics probably since 1995.
I retired in 2000, so I guess 2001. I'm the oldest one here, and I'm the most newbie with regard to clay.
But what binds them is much more than clay. It's something intangible.
You get a sense of belonging. And in the belonging, there's security, there's intimacy, there's shared experiences.
We met four women who for decades have done ceramics together. They call this their happy place. Is that happiness?
It could be happy in the moment-to-moment sense. It could also be meaningful if they feel like they are connected to these other people.
Boston area psychiatrist Robert Waldinger says there is a formula for happiness, and he's happy to share it.
Happiness falls into two main categories. One is that experience of being happy right now. Am I happy talking to you? And yes, I am. And in another hour or so, something annoying might happen, and I won't be happy.
You might still be talking to me.
Right. Yeah. Then there is a more enduring kind of happiness. Basically, the feeling that life is meaningful, that life is worthwhile.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life?
Dr. Waldinger, whose happiness TED Talk has been viewed some 44 million times, heads up the longest study ever on happiness.
So what do we have in here?
This is our data room. This is where we keep the hundreds of thousands of pages of information.
These are all the people who participated in this study.
Over 84 years.
Participants in Harvard's study of adult development have been answering questionnaires since 1938. Today, the project includes their children. Questions are on everything from sleep to sex to coffee consumption and well beyond.
Has anybody famous been in your study?
Yes, and I can tell you about them because it's already public knowledge. Otherwise, we keep the identities confidential. But it's John F. Kennedy.
Was in the happiness study?
He was in this study. And Ben Bradley, editor of the Washington Post.
And what do we know about their states of mind from this?
I can't tell you.
Why is this so secret?
It's secret because we ask people to tell us very personal things about their lives. And in exchange, we promise them privacy and confidentiality.
What's not secret is the study's key finding, mapped out in his new book, The Good Life, published by Simon & Schuster, part of our parent company, Paramount Global. Happiness comes, you guessed it, not from money, looks, or fame. True happiness comes from meaningful human relationships.
How do you measure a relationship?
We think all relationships have some benefit. But the 3 o'clock in the morning relationship, the person you could call if you were really hurting or in trouble, we think everybody needs one of those, at least one. At least one, right? But you could be a shy person.
I'm counting, you know.
Yeah. Well, and we asked our original participants, who could you call in the middle of the night if you were sick or scared? Some people could list several people. Some people couldn't list anybody. And some of those people who couldn't list anybody were married.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
This is far from just an American problem.
Over 300 million adults in the world today live in total loneliness.
John Clifton, CEO of Gallup, says its latest polls show loneliness is a major reason that global unhappiness is at an unprecedented high.
We're not happy.
That's correct. We are experiencing more stress, more sadness, more anger, more physical pain, and more worry than we have in the history of Gallup's tracking.
In a recent book, Clifton argues for action, writing that leaders should make their citizens' happiness a top political priority, right up there with, say, economic growth. Worldwide, he does point to a few bright spots.
If the way that you define happy is how much fun people have, then the happiest people in the world live in Latin America. And I think they also have shown us the power of social connections and having great friendships.
Is it possible to teach someone how to have more friends?
It is. It is.
In fact, Danielle Byard Jackson does it for a living.
If we don't have a supply of really good friends after college or around college age, are we pretty much doomed?
Oh, not at all. As long as you can make it a priority to have one daily meaningful social interaction, you can make a friend anytime.
Jackson is a professional friendship coach. She says relationships can take a lot of work and even more time.
There is research that finds it takes about 50 hours to make an acquaintance, about 90 hours to make a good friend, and 200 hours to make a best friend. So we've got to clock those hours.
And as these four friends happily will tell you, it's well worth it.
Can you imagine just suddenly not having this happy place?
No.
Mm-mm.
No, it would be a huge hole.
Really?
In my life.
2023 is starting off with inflation that's easing, but with a long way to go. Mo Rocca reminds us we've been here before.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
When he was thrust into the presidency in 1974, Gerald Ford's plain-spoken optimism was seen by many Americans as his greatest virtue.
There's great public support for Ford when he first becomes president. He's such a contrast to Nixon. He's seen as this very honest, down-to-earth, well-meaning president.
You know, looking at inflation, unemployment rate.
That honeymoon wouldn't last, says Morell Lukey, curator of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Library.
You can really see how it continued to rise.
Difficult decisions always come to this desk.
Public anger over Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon was made worse by a rapidly deteriorating economy.
When he becomes president, inflation is at 10%. It would later cap at 12%.
Right? Can we just say, right now inflation is bad, but 12%? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, to top that off, there was also a really high unemployment rate as well.
We must whip inflation right now.
Just 2 months after becoming president, Ford addressed a joint session of Congress about the urgent economic situation.
But I say to you, with all sincerity, that our inflation, our public enemy number one, will, unless whipped, destroy our country.
The country was depressed, cynical, and people in the Ford administration hoped that with a campaign like this, the American public could really come together like they had done in World War II.
A rallying cry.
Exactly.
The speech invoking FDR and likening inflation to the Nazis was short on policy. There was, however, a button.
Which I'm wearing on my lapel. It bears the single word win. I think that tells it all.
Short for whip inflation now, the phrase had a down-home ring to it and had been dreamed up by the same New York ad agency responsible for one of the most successful campaigns in advertising history.
Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Soon, the Win logo was everywhere.
So here we have a Win coffee cup. It says Win on one side, and then Whip Inflation Now on the other side. And so a company actually put together a Win Victory Garden, and the advertisement was that if you bought this garden set for $10, you could save $290 in growing your own vegetables.
Right. At Ford's Library in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there are thousands of artifacts.
I know I can't. I would love to try on the sweater, but I get it.
Absolutely can't try on the sweater.
Including a hand-knit sweater given to the president by a supporter in Nantucket.
It just looks so itchy.
Who needs inflation? Not this nation.
And since no war is complete without a fight song, the White House drafted Meredith Willson, composer of The Music Man, to write one.
Win together, lose never. You can win, so can I.
The song was Broadway, the acronym Madison Avenue. But Wynn had been inspired by Main Street's favorite financial columnist, Sylvia Porter. Equal parts Susie Orman and Martha Stewart, her newspaper column was read by 40 million Americans.
Her idea was that individual consumers should be enlisted in the fight.
Tracy Luke wrote a biography of Porter.
This meant things like conserving energy, not wasting food, planting gardens, taking measures that individually would help someone's budget, but taken collectively might also help to hold down prices.
But Ford's top economic advisors, like future Federal Reserve Chair Alan Greenspan, were deeply skeptical. He later called the idea unbelievable stupidity. A week after unveiling the Win button to Congress, Ford hit the road to tout the program.
The first words I can remember in my dad's house were very simple, but very direct. Clean up your plate before you get up from the table. And that's still pretty good advice.
Reporters were expecting details. What they got was a litany of homespun tips.
When you aren't using them, turn off the lights, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the water, use less hot water.
The speech was widely panned, and by March 1975, Sylvia Porter made it official.
Let us get this straight on your program, please. What has been abandoned, and for good reason, is the acronym WIN.
It didn't have policy behind it. It didn't have any teeth. It was just sort of an ad campaign.
In the end, Wynn didn't whip anything.
Many major banks raised their prime lending rate to 17% today.
Inflation remained high until the 1980s, when the Federal Reserve hiked interest rates to record highs, bringing on a punishing recession. But Wynn did leave us with the only inflation-related jingle written by a Broadway legend.
Win, 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 we'll win together, win together.
We leave you now with the cast of The Music Man.
Who needs inflation? Not this nation.
At Salt Performing Arts, a community theater in Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Win together.
Singing that song.
If you can win, so.
We may have been criminals.
Seeking redemption.
That's not who we are now.
Takes courage.
We're firefighters.
Fire camp's our second chance.
From producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
I'm here to save as many lives as possible.
TV's top new series.
Every incident could be the worst day in someone else's life.
Oh, get down!
What's the mantra?
Work, don't worry.
Let's go!
We can do this.
Fire Country. Fridays on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This
is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is our special guest. Elon Musk says he'll release Fauci files on Twitter. What are your concerns, if any, about the Fauci files on Twitter?
Well, A, no concerns, and B, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Musk also said that you should be prosecuted.
Yeah, Major, I don't have a clue of what he's talking about.
Anything you want to personally say to Elon Musk?
No, I have nothing to say to him.
For more from this week's conversation, follow The Takeout with Major Garrett on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pursuing one's passion. How American. Well, your mother is very open-minded. Not like here, where parents are obsessed with shaping the life of the children.
That's Michelle Yeoh in the blockbuster movie Crazy Rich Asians. Fact is, blockbuster films seem to be Yeoh's stock in trade. She's been in no small number over the years. Seth Doan talks with Michelle Yeoh.
I do all the roundhouse kicks and all the, whether it's the side kicks, the back kicks.
It's not a typical morning routine.
And just do the shadow boxing by myself.
In your bathroom.
In my bathroom.
Every morning.
Every morning. Before I go to work.
That work showcases Michelle Yeoh's physicality. Be it mesmerizing battle scenes in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or daring stunts as a Bond girl in Tomorrow Never Dies.
I know this much.
And she packs that intensity into a simple line of dialogue in Crazy Rich Asians.
You will never be enough.
Now, after decades of acting, she's getting more recognition than ever. Time magazine named Yeoh Icon of the Year. She's been nominated for a Golden Globe and is considered a frontrunner for an Oscar nod for her lead role in the trippy Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Let me finish talking with my husband. He needs to know how good my life could have been.
Is it true that the part was originally written as a male lead? That
it was it was written for Jackie Chan. Yes, because he texted me and he said, "Hey, congratulations on your film. Do you know your directors came to look for me first?" I said, "Yes, bro, I know. And so then I said, "You're lost, bro. Thank you."
It's quite an odyssey for a ballet dancer from Malaysia who saw parallels in her training.
Moving, you know, like in dance, you go one, two, three, one, two, three. In martial arts, like one, two, three, four.
She found a way to cut her own path into film via 1980s Hong Kong martial arts movies. Now, in Everything Everywhere All at Once, she plays an unlikely universe-hopping superhero.
I hadn't read anything that was so original. It really had everything and everywhere I wanted to go as an actor.
You play so many different parts
in
that one role.
A completely different person, completely different role.
But how is that as an actor? What are the mechanics of switching like that?
Challenging.
The film requires both mental and punishing physical acrobatics. The actor, famous for doing her own stunts, starts each day with a sort of meditation apology.
Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. This body takes a lot of bumps and bruises, so that is my way of saying thank you to it. So all these kind of things.
She showed us her stretching routine, which starts before she gets out of bed.
It's like you must know your body.
At 60, Yeoh seems to defy aging, but was still surprised to get this role.
It was amazing to think that at this point in my career, because, you know, it's like the older you get, they see you by your age rather than see you by your capability.
But she says the directing duo known as the Daniels saw it differently.
They thought, you know, she can do this. If anybody can in our industry, who can fight, who can be funny, who can, you know, be dramatic and sincere and all those kind of things, we believe Michelle will be able to do it. And to receive that, you don't know how joyful.
It touches you.
Yes.
Why so deeply?
It's like when someone gives you the opportunity to show what you're capable of. Yeah.
you thought that that wouldn't happen at this point in your career?
Yes.
You've had a rich career.
Oh, I had a spectacular career. But you know, you don't want it to just slow down or end because you have gotten to a certain age. And you know, you start getting scripts where the guy, your hero, is still in his 50s, 60s, you know, some even more. And then they get to go on the adventure with your daughter. And then you go like, no, come on, guys. Give me a chance because I feel that I am still able to do all that. Yeah.
Yo also pushed back against being cast as the damsel in distress early in her career.
Look at me. Look at me. Oh, God.
I kind of wince sometimes when I'm watching you do these things.
Me too. I go, oh, what was I thinking?
There were close calls, injuries, and in 1988, after marrying movie producer Dixon Poon, a brief retirement.
I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to be a good wife and find something else that I could embark on. But then I think the biggest issue was because I couldn't have kids. And I knew that this was a family who needed kids. And it was a choice.
A choice to leave the marriage.
How hard was that?
It's devastating, you know, but it is life. Now I have godchildren. I have beautiful godchildren. They're like my extended family.
Friends, kids. Mm-hmm. Family is important to you.
Oh, the most important.
Yo introduced us to one of those friends in Paris at his 3 Michelin star restaurant, Guy Savoy.
There's French style and Italian style. Mm-hmm.
And this one is Italian style.
I like the Italian style.
I like the Italian style.
You prefer Italian style?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Guy Savoy became a friend through Yo's partner of 18 years, Jean Todt, a prominent French motorsport executive and former Ferrari CEO.
You both have big careers. It must be hard to...
No, I think
intersect.
You find time. And it becomes more precious, right? So when you are together, it's fabulous.
Together, they champion road safety programs for the United Nations.
She's wonderful. I'm sorry we don't get to meet you.
Todd, who was traveling, video called several times while we were shooting.
What I love is he is what you see is what you get. And he's very straightforward, he's very honest, he's one of the most loyal person I have ever met.
You see, I'm a road safety.
Yo had just flown to Paris from LA, but we never saw the star fuss over lighting or makeup. She calls her schedule insane, but good.
You go where the work takes you. And I think that has always been my wish as well. It's like I want to have a kind of job that takes me and let me visit new places, meet new people. And I guess I got my wish because, you know. You know me, I always make that he, she. In Chinese, just one word, ta.
Another wish is to carry others with her, which made this latest role so appealing.
Anyways, my English is fine.
What I found so beautiful was it was giving a voice to a very ordinary woman, aging immigrant woman, who's never really had a voice before. You know, it's hard being looking like this because I have a lot of Asians who come up to me and say, thank you for doing this because now I see it's possible for us to be there. So it is very important because what we're giving to all the Asian faces is that we're not invisible.
She's hardly invisible today. Yes, that's both a responsibility and something to relish.
It's so fun. You know, now when I go on the streets and the younger kids, you know, they're shy, but they'll walk up and say, we think you're cool. Can we do a picture with you? And I'm like, yes.
Ever hear the expression, every day is a holiday? Well, that's quite literally the case these days, given the growing number of made-to-order holidays you can find almost any day of the year. 1,500 of them. But who's counting? Our Luke Burbank, for one.
As we launch into a new year, some clarification might be in order.
National Lima Bean Respect Day, which falls on April 20th, is not actually a national holiday. Neither is National Talk in an Elevator Day, July 28th, or even the much-beloved National Taco Day, October 4th. What these so-called national days are, really, are largely the invention of this guy.
I've always had a love of celebration, and I was digging around about where National Popcorn Day came from and couldn't find any real information.
Yes, Marlo Anderson of Mandan, North Dakota, was curious one day about the origins of National Popcorn Day, January 19th, so he started keeping a blog called the National Day Calendar, which these days has grown into the sort of official decider of those often weird days you see people celebrating on Facebook or hear them talking about on morning TV.
No, it's National Oatmeal Day!
I love it.
It is National Dog Day today.
Today is National Receptionist Day.
You know, the first month there was like 1,000 people that came to the website. 6 months, we had 1 million people in the month come to the website. And I'm like, this is really interesting.
Working from this small building in Mandan, Anderson had been running a video conversion and computer repair business. But then the calendar took off.
We actually had a meeting about 2 years after starting this about whether it should go away or continue on, because it was stressing the company. We were really starting to get stressed here because of the hundreds of phone calls, thousands of emails, for something we're not getting paid for.
Anderson decided to go all in on the calendar. After all, National Have Fun at Work Day is January 28th, creating a system whereby people can suggest new national days online, which is where Amy Monette and Doug Phillip come in.
So what is a really big day?
National Pizza Day.
Pizza Day.
Hot Dog Day.
Beer Day.
This day is already in existence.
Amy and Doug are part of the team at National Day, who vote on what does and doesn't get a spot on the calendar.
Being a speed reader.
I like that one, though.
I'm sensing a theme here. A lot of it is food related.
We have a lot of food days.
Donut Day.
Are people just looking for an excuse to eat a donut?
I think people are looking for an excuse just to have some fun.
I want to just also make sure I understand this. You don't have any governmental authority to do this.
Absolutely not.
The government, of course, has the 11 actual national holidays we're all familiar with.
Welcome, everybody.
On the national day calendar, there are also sponsored days in which a company pays money to have a national day declared for its product, which makes business sense to someone like Kim Francis.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kim Francis.
Spokesperson for the Checkers and Rally's chain of restaurants.
Do you account for National French Fry Day and make sure that you have enough stuff, basically?
We do. You know, in an average year, we can sell as up to 135,000 pounds of French fries per restaurant. But National French Fry Day, we absolutely plan weeks in advance to make sure we have plenty of fries to satisfy the demand on National French Fry Day. That's how impactful it is.
Checkers and Rally's had actually driven their Fry Love Express to Mandan, North Dakota on this day to celebrate the amazing news. National French Fry Day was being moved from a Wednesday to a Friday, which was a total natural. Get it? Friday? Locals lined up for the free food, but seemed largely unaware these national days were getting decided just down the block.
Do you know that that's all getting picked here in Mandan?
No.
Yeah, like a block from here is the headquarters. Are you ever in a conversation with someone or your friend or whatever, and they're like, hey, guess what? It's National Wine Day. Let's like have some wine.
Yeah, yes. Or like yesterday was Grandparents' Day, and I was for sure going to post Happy Grandparents' Day to my mom and their grandparents. So, yeah.
Which seems to be why this national day calendar thing has taken off. Because we can all use a reason to reach out to a sibling, April 10th, or eat a blueberry popsicle, September 2nd, or, you know, step in a puddle and splash your friend day, which is just around the corner on January 11th.
He's a billionaire entrepreneur with quite a story to tell. Jim Axelrod has a Sunday profile of Mark Cuban.
Is it impossible to stay connected to what most people would think of as a normal life?
Yes and no.
I mean, always looking to unlock hidden value.
It's not like my friends are rich. They're not.
Multi-billionaire Mark Cuban.
At the same time, if you're jumping on a plane and it's your plane.
Apparently finds none in either shy or retiring. The owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks, whose unrestrained dress downs of league refs have cost him millions in fines.
Obviously, I'm incredibly impressed.
A panelist on Shark Tank for the last 13 years.
Rule number one, I'll teach you, don't over-negotiate.
550 for 11%.
Done. Done, you got a deal.
$5 million to build his factory.
The kind of guy who loved playing himself on HBO's Entourage.
You know what's going to happen?
Mark's going to make Gordon Gekko look like Mary Poppins.
I will never forget this.
Cuban.
Neither will I, Turtle.
Is one high-functioning multitasker. But these days, if you want to know what's grabbing his attention.
As big a potential disruptor as this space has seen.
That's the goal.
Check out his latest venture, Mark Cuban's Cost Plus Drugs, that aims to change the way we fill our prescriptions.
How much of your head is Cost Plus eating up right now?
About 99.99%. Financial, emotional, intellectual, all that bandwidth is going to Cost Plus.
Prescription drugs are a $500 billion market in the U.S. Cuban wants more transparency into how prices are set. An opaque and complicated process, he says, that's largely controlled by middlemen. Cost Plus deals directly with manufacturers and consumers, offering more profits for those who make drugs and lower prices for those who take them.
Let me make sure I understand this.
Uh-huh.
Cost?
You see it.
Plus 15% for you. Plus
$3 pharmacy fee, because the pharmacist needs to get paid, and then $5 shipping if it's mail order.
Simple.
Simple.
Cost Plus Drugs offers 1,100 medications right now. Mostly, but not all generics. Like atorvastatin, the generic of the cholesterol drug Lipitor. Retail, $55.08 for 30 pills. Cost Plus, $3.60 for the same amount.
When I was in my 20s and my 30s and my early 40s, it was all about how much money could I make. But at this point in my life, where the next dollar that I bring in isn't going to change my life, my kids' life, their kids' lives, the capitalistic reward comes from having an impact.
At the age of 64, Mark Cuban's been focused on the next dollar for close to 50 years, since he was a kid in Pittsburgh.
Selling garbage bags door to door, selling magazines, selling candy door to door.
You did all that?
All that. Hi, my name is Mark. Do you use garbage bags? If you just call me every time you need garbage bags, they're only $6 per 100. I'll come and I'll just drop them off at the house. Once you're a salesperson and you know how to sell, there's nothing you can't do.
That salesmanship developed alongside a certain toughness in his working class Jewish home.
The first time I ever got into a fight, some kid walked up and just punched me and started calling me a kike. And of course I had to beat the hell out of him, but I go into my dad and saying, what's a kike? Every generation has a reason to have fear, but every generation has a reason to have hope.
He took those qualities with him to Indiana University, along with a penchant for risk-taking and thinking outside the box.
Did you buy a bar before you were old enough to drink?
Yes, Motley's Pub. That was the first time I had to try to get things organized and actually run a real business. And I realized I wasn't that good at it. There were a lot of mistakes that I made.
After graduation, he worked at a bank. That lasted 9 months. Cuban had too many other things to try.
Watch your hand.
One last push here. No, get it.
Like acting, grabbing parts in a bunch of B-movies.
Who's Rachel?
His first big money came at the age of 30, selling a software company he built called Micro Solutions. While still not ready to settle down.
I netted about $2 million after taxes. I bought a lifetime pass on American Airlines, and I'm not going to work. I'm just going to party like a rock star in as many countries as I can.
His ever-churning mind was focused on and investing in the emerging sector of technology and computers.
My net worth just kept on going bam, 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 along with that. By the time I'm 35, I was worth, you know, $15, $20 million. Life was good.
Millions became billions when he and his college buddy, Todd Wagner, also now living in Dallas, wanted to listen to Indiana University basketball games on their old campus 900 miles away.
So I go buy a computer, upgrade my phone line, downloaded Netscape software for a server, and started looking at different alternatives to try to put audio and eventually video on the internet. Nobody was doing it at the time. We were the first.
I feel like I'm listening to the origin story of streaming.
It is the origin story of streaming. There was nobody doing it. Nobody. People thought I was an idiot.
He wasn't.
You sell to Yahoo?
Sell to Yahoo for $5.7 billion in stock. It was the craziest thing ever. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I could be worth a billion. I was ready to retire when I had 2 million, you know?
If you were worth a tenth of what you're worth, you would be just as happy.
Yeah, of course.
1% of what you're worth.
Yes. If I had my same family and everything, for sure.
And the people who say that's easy for him to say?
Yeah, of course. But if you talk to my friends from back then who are still my friends, they'll tell you I've got stuff. But hopefully I haven't changed all that much.
We took him up on his idea to talk to his oldest pals.
The big man, Bofi, Toe the Pro, and Stu.
Getting them together at a lunch spot in Pittsburgh.
He said, if you ask the guys I grew up with, I am the same guy. Different stuff, same guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. A little more full of it, but not that much more full of it. But still the same guy.
A little bit.
Same guy, meaning what the world sees of Mark Cuban now, they saw first, then.
We got into stamps. I'd like to collect stamps, and Mark expressed an interest in stamps. We did a stamp show. We need to go in with $20. I'd come out with some stamps, and Mark would come out with $100. It's amazing. It's like, how did you do that?
Inefficient markets. You look for inefficient markets.
Yeah.
He'd buy them on the second floor and sell them on the first floor, right? Basically.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Which is how he got to shooting baskets.
That's all we need. We're done.
On a full court in the backyard of his $20 million plus mansion.
It's two for two for anybody scoring at
home.
Yeah,
we'll stop right there.
Where he lives with his wife and three kids.
My son gives me a hard time if I'm missing. I'm like, come on, Mark.
A guy who's been draining him from deep for decades now.
What did you know about running a professional sports team when you bought the Mavs?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
The Dallas Mavericks he paid $285 million for 23 years ago are now estimated to be worth more than $3 billion. But remember, this is a guy looking for hidden value.
The connection to your customer is stronger than anywhere else. You don't get requests from Make-A-Wish to sit down with a software programmer.
A man who understands the role of good fortune in creating his great one.
Do you walk around every day feeling like, man, did I get a good deal of the cards?
Yeah. How does this happen to me?
How do you explain it?
I can't. Life is half random. There's half you have some level of control over and half it is what it is. If I was born 5 years sooner, not during, you know, the early days of the internet, you might not know my name. And I'm gonna never take it for granted and enjoy every stinking moment of it.
In March 2020, a family on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Lame Deer, Montana, got shocking news about their loved one, Christy Woodenthy.
My daughter had came and notified me that Christy was run over. And I said, is she okay? And she's like, no, she died. I was like, what?
Missing Justice from CBS News takes you inside what really happened that night and the federal investigation that followed. Listen to Missing Justice from CBS News on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm back with Season 3 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I'm looking forward to introducing you to more of my favorite people and things, all of them dead. From a top dog in 1990s television...
What happened? What's the story, Wishbone?
...to a former top banana.
In the world up to 1960, when the Gros Michel was the only banana that we got, they were clearly better.
Listen to Mobituaries, wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Hartman has a story that can only be described as grand.
To 11-year-old Jude Kofi of Aurora, Colorado, this surprise was music to his eyes. Obviously, whoever said the best things come in small packages was never gifted a grand piano. Jude's father, Isaiah.
So one day it just shows up at the house?
Yes, all for free. Who does that?
The answer in a moment.
Moses.
But first, the reason. About a year and a half ago, Jude's dad heard a noise coming from the basement. There was an old keyboard down there, but no one knew how to play it. Certainly not his autistic son, Jude. Or so he thought. Isaiah then got Jude a larger keyboard to see what more he could do. And boy, could he do. The kid never had a lesson. No one taught him any of this.
How do you explain that you're as good as you are?
It's a miracle.
You think it's a miracle?
That's what I prefer.
Bill Magnuson prefers that too.
Is he special?
He's beyond special. He's Mozart level. It's coming from somewhere beyond.
Bill is a piano tuner. He saw a local news story about Jude, heard him play, learned how his parents immigrated from Ghana, how they're raising four children, and sending money back to Ghana.
What resources are left over to help this special little soul?
Yours.
Yeah.
Using an inheritance from his father, Bill bought the piano, spent $15,000. He has promised to tune it once a month for the rest of his life.
Very nice.
And he's even paying for Jude to get professional lessons.
We're family now.
Somebody to just love your son like that by making sure that his future is secured, we are super thankful. Yeah.
Press the pedal.
Caring for other children as your own. The defining note of humanity.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone and creator of 1883, comes the new Paramount Plus original series, 1923, a Yellowstone origin story.
You have no rights here.
Starring Academy Award nominee Harrison Ford.
Tell the world what happens when they cross me.
And Academy Award winner Helen Mirren.
Greed will be the thing that kills us all.
Stream 1923 now. Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it for free.
The biggest movie of the year is now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Here we go.
Top Gun Maverick restores your faith in the magic of movies.
Make us proud.
It's jaw-dropping. A masterful adrenaline rush.
Holy.
And is now nominated for Best Picture of the Year.
I'm a fighter pilot. It's not what I am. It's who I am.
Tom Cruise. Top Gun Maverick. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.